Raymond Grove versus Peace Health St. Joseph Hospital.
Your Honor, for the record, Kevin Keefe on behalf of Raymond Grove. I don't know that I'll be able to say much more than what's in my briefing here.
Do you wish to reserve any time at all?
I would. I'd like to reserve half, Your Honor.
All right. Despite
the briefing and the record before the court here, this was a very simple case as far as a medical malpractice case goes. It was really over the issue of the standard of care. Do Mr. Grove following his heart surgery at Peace Health Hospital. It was a lengthy surgery. It was a successful surgery, but he had complications afterwards, and there were known risks of a surgery of that length.
Is it the standard of care that the patient should receive, or is it the standard of care that the particular health care provider ought to provide?
You know, it's kind of difficult, and in the cases it seems that the standard of care is something that's owed to the patient, and it's owed to the patient by the health care provider. So it's kind of which comes first, the chicken or the egg. There's no reason to have a standard of care unless it's applying to someone who needs that standard of care applied to them. But the standard of care in any event, whether or not it's the obligation of the health care providers or whether it's...
But in order to breach the duty, I mean, the health care provider has to provide a certain standard of care.
Correct. Correct. That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
And we needed expert opinions as to what that standard of care was. In this case, there was a known risk of compartment syndrome, and the expert opinion was from Dr. Gadella that with that known risk, the standard of care was to at least twice a day to palpate the compartments, whether he's intubated or not.
For who to do that?
Pardon, Your Honor?
For who to do that?
For the health care providers. For Dr. Gadella basically used the term the health care providers and the health care providers and his knowledge of this type of situation would have been the doctors.
Was he testifying as to the standard of care of the physician's assistant?
He was basically giving the standard of care for the physicians.
Was it for the team?
Or for the team. I mean, that was one of the difficulties in this case, is that the entire team concept was that we all do this together, we're all in this together, the PAs do the work, or the nurses do the work, or the doctors do the work, and we all do it in tandem. In fact, a lot of these, from this case, you'll see that the PAs actually do the work, and then the doctors basically trust them enough to sign off on them. But the ultimate issue was, no matter who did it, because I don't think it mattered who did it, it wouldn't matter any more than if someone was sent in to say, okay, you've got to check his temperature every 6 hours. It wouldn't matter whether a nurse did it or a physician. It was that it was done. So in this case, a lot of what you would expect to be a physician's obligation was actually carried out by physician's assistant. But the physicians also said that they monitored as well. The standard of care in terms of where Mr. Grove was at least twice a day palpate the compartments. And this is a very easy thing to do. This wasn't something that you didn't need to be a brain surgeon to do this or anything else. In fact,
did you need to be an orthopedic surgeon to do it?
I think that it was so standard that it's known in medicine for long surgeries, but particularly all of these surgeons knew that the development of compartment syndrome was a known risk of the type of surgery that he'd undergone. And in fact, the PAs in this case seemed to do most of the work.
What was the testimony? When if this had been done, when would it have been discovered?
It would have been discovered within no longer than 12 hours of its onset.
And so when would that have been?
Well, we don't know because they weren't doing it. No one did the standard of care palpation. and the standard of care was at least twice a day.
Okay, so I'm quoting the doctor that you referenced earlier, and he says, since my discovery, this is apparently his trial testimony, since my discovery deposition, I have clarified that this was a team approach, and Dr. Leone wasn't necessarily in charge of this patient at the time that the diagnosis was made.
Correct. The diagnosis...
So he had testified earlier that Dr. Leone did not perform to the standard of care? Is that what...
That no one on the team performed to the standard of
care. Well, he's an orthopedic surgeon, so he was presumably testifying about the orthopedic... Well, earlier he says, I identified Dr. Leone when asked who was negligent. So he says he identified Dr. Leone, but that this arose after Dr. Leone was no longer in charge.
It was discovered after Dr. Leone had left. It was discovered real late in this case. It was discovered almost when he was going to lose his leg. So the discovery came real late. We don't know when the onset was because they weren't doing the standard of care monitoring.
All right. Thank you. Jeff, you have 5 minutes remaining.
May it please the court. My name is Jeff Burnham on behalf of Peace Health. The problem with this case was that the specific criticisms of the doctors were not disclosed nor delivered in any way that is sort of normal in these cases. Typically, in a case like this, you would have Peace Health as the defendant, and the employees committed these specific acts of negligence or omissions. That's not the way these experts decided to proceed here. These experts rather presented Dr. Leone as the only, and Dr. Mostad, the infectious disease doctor, as the only doctors that were specifically criticized here. Although Dr. Leone was on vacation during the last 5 days, that the care was even given here. The problem with that kind of there must have been something wrong. There must have been some development of compartment syndrome. Therefore, it should have.
If it is if the expert testimony was insufficient, mm-hmm. why didn't you object? And keep it from going to the jury.
We did. We made a motion for a directed verdict.
Motion for a directed verdict is after the testimony is taking mm-hmm. place. I'm talking about if you're saying that somehow you were surprised by what they said, and then they start to answer a question that surprises you, a trial lawyer's usual reaction to that is to take his feet.
Sure. And we did. We did object to those things. A great example of that is the testimony by Dr. Adams, their expert, that the physical therapist on the 30th of December should have been, I think he said, screaming, or there should have been a red flag raised when she noted the neurological change. We immediately objected. The judge dismissed the jury. We talked about it for a good probably half hour. And the judge came to the proper determination that there was no specific criticism of that disclosed previously, and therefore the doctor could not testify to that. And the judge then instructed the jury that he could not, that they should disregard that testimony.
The question asked to the two experts in this case was, have you developed a medical opinion to a reasonable degree of probability? Now I'm quoting, mm-hmm. concerning whether or not the medical treatment provided to Raymond Grove met the standard of care in the state of Washington for patients under the same or similar circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
There was no objection when that statement was made
right.
to the two experts.
Sure.
Is it your impression that that's the correct standard to be inquired?
Sure.
The standard of care owed to patients?
That's one way to put it. The specific RCW makes it more specific to the acceptable standard of care as to the practice of the physician.
Well,
but that's a common way to ask that question.
Well, I mean, I guess my question to you is, do you agree that the standard of care is a fact?
No, it's an opinion. I'm sorry.
It's
the
a
standard
fact,
of care.
Right?
Yes.
It's a fact.
Sure.
And
or at least
and
based
the
on
parties can propose different testimony as to the standard of care. if they have people of suitable education, training, learning, and experience to opine.
Yes.
And then the fact finder determines what it believes the standard of care to be, to have been proved.
Right? Yes, yes.
Okay.
Although,
so if you allowed that question to be asked, even if it's an improper question, was the jury then entitled to accept it?
No.
And render a jury and render a verdict based on it?
Yeah, that question I don't think changes what the legal threshold is for these experts to opine. That is a
That would be a good reason to object.
Yeah, that is a
But once the evidence is in, isn't a jury entitled to believe it?
Mm-hmm. With regard to that particular question, that allows the expert to give his opinion. I understand that. The question here is whether those opinions, number one, were disclosed, and number two, whether they were appropriate under the statute.
Well, disclosed isn't a question for us, because the trial court's ruling wasn't based on any non-disclosure. The trial court's ruling was that there wasn't evidence in the case sufficient to uphold the jury's verdict.
Yeah.
Right? And so if the wrong question is asked, and I'll just tell you, that's the wrong question, because it focuses on the patient's expectations rather than the healthcare provider's duties.
Sure.
But if the wrong question was asked and it wasn't objected to, can't the jury accept the answer and then render its verdict?
No, not under what happened during the entire trial. And let me go back to Judge Mira. Judge Mira did, in part, decide that it wasn't disclosed properly. The whole issue here is whether this team approach should allow the plaintiff's experts to say the doctor, Dr. Leone in this case, the original surgeon, is responsible for the entire team. And what Judge Mira said is that's not an appropriate theory, the captain of the ship theory. That's not an appropriate theory to go forward here on. And only if the jury made inappropriate assumptions about either the excluded evidence or about Dr. Mostad.
Now, I'm not worried about theories, and I'm not worried about excluded evidence. I'm asking you about the evidence.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's important to Judge Mira's decision, though.
Decision was that there wasn't evidence.
Correct.
Right. So why didn't that question, even though it asked for the wrong, it asked the wrong thing, but it wasn't objected to, and that led to these discussions of the team. The guy should expect that the team to take care of him.
The expectation is
that the Dr. Leone, even if he's in New Jersey, is going to have people taking care of this guy.
Because I don't think it makes a difference how that question's asked, because of the way that
It makes no difference how the question is asked if it's not objected to. The answer to the question, can't that make all the difference in the world?
Whether it's the individual's expectation that the individual doctor should do their job, or whether you ask it in a way that, you know, aren't the doctors supposed to do their job?
I'm understanding more of the problem that Judge Mira had in trying this case based on that answer. I don't see those as interchangeable whatsoever. Asking the question so it's phrased in terms of the requirements of the statute, at least 20 years ago, was a very typical practice. I don't know what's happened in the last 20 years, but asking it from the patient's perspective isn't consistent with the statute, but nevertheless, it brought forth answers.
Yes, but the issue here is really something a little bit different, or diverges a little bit, and that's why the questions really don't make a difference. And that is, even whether the expectation of the patient is that, or whether it's the specific criticisms of the doctor, whether that question is asked one way or the other, it still is determined by the specific criticisms as to the specific care. And that's what's missing here, and that's what Judge Mira was concerned about in his decision to overturn the verdict. The Van Hook case is specifically on point here, and it's one that's relied on by the plaintiffs as well. Under the vicarious liability discussion in that case, The court specifically made a distinction here between this team approach versus specific criticism, and whether a doctor who's ahead of the operation can be specifically responsible for those other actions of other individuals or not. And the case comes down that the
testimony,
they cannot.
The testimony in your case, mm-hmm. not the testimony in some other case.
Okay.
The testimony in your case was, but I do know that one person that at least shared in the responsibility would be the surgeon of record.
Sure.
The jury heard that.
Sure.
The jury can't believe it?
Sure, absolutely.
And so doesn't that support the jury's verdict?
No, because no rational, reasonable jury can conclude with that testimony that surgeon, having gone to New Jersey on vacation for the final
the
5 days...
The testimony was that he was responsible. He was the surgeon of record.
I understand.
You allowed that to be testified to, and now you're telling me the jury can't believe it?
Sure. No reasonable jury could make the assumption that a
Why
physician...
Why can't a reasonable juror decide, boy, that doctor up there, he looks pretty honest to me. I don't know anything about this before I walked in this room. I believe what he's telling me.
Yeah.
Don't jurors do that all the time?
I think that...
Isn't that what happened here?
I think that Judge Muir agreed with me that when a doctor is on vacation and not even dealing with the day-to-day process
well,
at
maybe
that point...
Maybe that was his problem. I mean, you can't say that he was incommunicado. I mean, in this day and age, I mean, he can video conference. I mean, there's
sure.
many ways he could stay in touch with him. So it's not unreasonable for a jury to conclude that he could have had some role in supervising that from New Jersey.
Except that the testimony here was that his partner took over the care, and the experts were unable to even know the name of, let alone criticize, those partners who took over the care during that final 5 days, and there were two of them. In fact, Dr. Adams said, as to one of them, I have no specific criticism of Dr. Douglas, who was the one who made the diagnosis finally.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I guess a couple issues that might not be really pertinent to your decision, but this surprise issue that Mr. Burnham was talking about, it's in here. I just want to correct it. The Dr. Gadella's deposition was taken several weeks as a perpetuation deposition before trial, and to be implying that somehow I pulled a surprise on Mr. Burnham at that time is ridiculous. They knew well what Dr. Gadella, not like in the courtroom all of a sudden it's thrown in front of you. They'd had 3 weeks prior to that, and they had three witnesses. They were able to handle that.
Did he testify live, or was it his deposition that was read?
It was a deposition, Your Honor, and it was done several weeks before trial.
And it was read to the jury?
And it was read to the jury, yes, Your Honor, and that's when
And there wasn't any variation?
Absolutely not. Yeah. In fact, that's where Judge Murrah actually recognized that, yeah, that is in standard of care language, and that stays in. That's during, and that's in the brief. So in those, I just wanted to correct those two matters. Also, the Van Hook case that I believe he's talking about, unfortunately, it was probably my fault. When I was taking the deposition of Dr. Zeck, I asked him, captain of the ship, were you the captain of the ship? I think he was a Navy doctor or something like that. This was never a captain of the ship doctrine case. We all, and Mr. Burnham's well aware of that we were making that reference to the head of the team at any time and not the captain of the ship doctrine, which he then has argued in his brief that this was a captain of the ship doctrine, and that also is false. And also, I guess, in terms of the bad result case, Mr. Burnham was aware that this was never a bad result case. In fact, my expert said that the surgery was expertly done. It was exquisite. So it was not. This was a failure to timely diagnose case. So that's another falsehood that's contained in their brief that he was aware of, and that was not an issue in this case. If any other questions, that's all I have.
All right, thank you very much.